for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
Indeed, a very good Monday evening to you. Hope your first day of the work week was well, or if you're like me and you don't have a standard work week, well, then I hope everything was well for you. Nick Mandola here from the Pro Soccer Talk of NBC Sports, as well as Ben Tsujimoto of the Buffalo News Soccer Blog, who was out at Nichols yesterday for the big FC Yemen game against Christos FC. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
It was so cold.
It seemed cold. I thought about going out there, and I realized how cold it was, and I will tell you, that makes me a bad local supporter, but I wasn't touching that. We have a dozen players to announce for the FC Buffalo team a little later today. Two of them.
I'm excited.
Yeah, two of them will be joining us if, in fact, they work their phones right with their time zones and all of that. So neither quite local, we'll put it that way, or at least not local yet. They will be come early May. And, Ben, we also will be remiss if we don't talk about the Premier League as Leicester City inches closer to its Premier League crown, clinching a spot in the Champions League. You can say that again out loud. Leicester City is going to be in the Champions League next year, and that is simply amazing. So lots to get to, and we want to start here, though. Have you seen? You have not seen?
Or no, you're trying, I just saw it. Oh, my gosh.
You thought it was bad. So we are getting fresh Suge takes on Nigel De Jong yesterday night for
Unfiltered.
The Los Angeles Galaxy clatters into a tackle with Darlington Nagbe, United States men's national team, former Akron Zip and current Portland Timber, and looks to be out for a long time. Needed a wheelchair to get off the field at the end of the game. Ben, terrific player, very good midfielder, hard-nosed, international, has been on Manchester City, AC Milan, the Dutch national team, played in a World Cup, karate kicked Xabi Alonso in the chest during that game.
I remember that.
Did not get a red card from Howard Webb, got a yellow, which is weird because it's like, hey, yeah, I saw something, but I'm not sure it was full karate.
He must be in collusion with someone.
How, at Manchester United, how, Ben, do we deal with a player like Nigel De Jong? Because if it was Marcelo Sarvis, not that there's anything wrong with him, a fine MLS player.
Yeah.
I think, and this is his fifth career-ending injury for someone, not career-ending, but at least season-ending. Mm. He's gone. Like, no one's signing him. But Nigel De Jong is so good. He's captain of the Galaxy. Mike McGee kind of sheepishly said, yeah, we all love this guy. He's awesome in practice. You know, I wish that tackle didn't happen, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you he was amazing. How do you deal with this?
I don't even know what I want to talk about first, whether I want to talk about De Jong or whether I want to talk about the referee in this case. I think I'll talk about De Jong because players that have his skill set and his character, his traits as a player don't age well.
No.
They're a step slower into tackles, and you see things like this happen, and you're just like mortified when it happens. But how is that a yellow card?
Because it's a card. He's clearly seen something.
How
is it not red?
Exactly. That's what I'm asking. How is that just a yellow card?
Want me to blow your mind?
Yes.
Nigel De Jong, two red cards in his entire career.
Yeah, that's incredible. I wonder how many he dodged.
He's karate kicked Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
He has stamped down, more or less, on a bad tackle on Darlington Nagbe last night. He ended a year and a half of Stu Holden's career with a slide tackle when the United States played the Netherlands. He did the same, more or less, for Hatem Ben Arfa when he was on Manchester City.
That's a good fact.
Yeah. I'm a Newcastle guy. I remember that, and I had to write an article about it this morning. He has an awful reputation. He was voted one of the 10 most violent football players in the world.
He's the Bill Romanowski of our era.
There's something to be said for that.
I know Derek Kramer appreciated that reference.
He probably did, if he was even listening.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, what do you do? I mean, what do you do with a guy like that? And there are some out there, and there are a few comments, and they could be Galaxy fans or Dutch fans or whatever, who commented to me, whether it be on Twitter or somewhere else, that kind of tackle 10 years ago, or 15 years ago happened all the time in England, and it might be a red card, but this isn't something he should be getting 15 games for.
That's irrelevant.
I know.
Totally irrelevant.
100% full-blooded irrelevant.
You know, and this sort of brings up a larger subject that has less to do with Nigel de Jong, is when you see studs up on a tackle,
yeah.
I think that used to be almost without question a red card. And now there's, for some reason, more indecision with it. Like, like if you're the referee's weighing the danger factor or something. And, like, I don't know, we could reach out to Andy Evenhouse or Steve Adamick or John Netter or one of the local referees to see at some point what they consider a studs up tackle. But I am positive that all three of them would have given a red card in that case.
Look, and I love me a good tackle. I mean, I love a crunching tackle. I was a big Paul Scholes fan, and I don't even like United.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of admired that, like guys who play on the edge for a while, liked Jack Colback until he was a part of the team that was ruining my life for a little bit this year. But
and Jake Reno, to bring in a Buffalo thing, is like, there's a perfect example of a guy who can really tackle and who doesn't do it with dirty intent. Like, there will be times where he'll mistime it or he'll, you know, clip somebody a little bit, but you'll never see him go in, like, maliciously like Nigel de Jong did.
I think the problem with de Jong is he's so athletic that most times when we see these mistimed tackles or poor tackles and they become red cards, it's because a guy goes to ground and slides and it looks... He comes over the ball and lands after Nagby kind of jukes him a little bit and goes in a different direction. And maybe for the ref, he's thinking, wow, I'm used to looking out. I've been waiting for Nigel de Jong to slide and do something bad. I believe we have a guest on the phone, I believe, a little early. Derek, is that true? Maybe? I'm not sure. DK, we could play a fun game here.
He's still talking about Cam Newton,
still talking about Cam Newton, leaving him out of the top five quarterbacks.
Top five, which is shocking
to
me.
It's pretty much one of the most ridiculous things I've heard in a long time.
That's our producer.
That's our producer, yes. Mr. Football himself. The...
One thing while you're trying to get producer Derek's attention.
I want to clap, but it'll go on the air.
Is,
we have a guest on the phone?
No, there was something messed up with the phone there. Like,
oh, okay.
Oh, never mind. False alarm.
There,
like,
there was nothing show. There. Derek whole show Kramer. Is ruined. Look for a guest around 5:15, by the way. So, yes, that no problems. no problems here. Yes, MLS, a very interesting evening, to say the least, and retroactive discipline almost certainly coming for de Jong.
And I don't want to make light of this because it's a pretty serious infraction, I thought, but the moment after the tackle where Nagmi's like writhing around on the ground, Diego Chara comes over to try to defend his teammate. And there's only a couple words you could use to describe Diego Chara, like, physically.
Giant?
No. Not in the top five.
No.
No. Tiny dude goes up and essentially like pokes Nigel de Jong.
Like, hey, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like, I had to laugh, but I felt bad, immediately guilty.
And I want to get to the Premier League, but a couple other quick points about that story that are very interesting. De Jong, before the game, I don't know if you saw this story, Stu Holden was broadcasting that game.
Oh, no.
And obviously he's had his leg exploded by Nigel de Jong. De Jong apologized before the game, and this is the quote. He found him, and Stu said, "It's almost fate, wasn't it, that this was going to happen? Nigel and I actually had an opportunity to talk before the game. In full disclosure, he sought me out to make an apology for the challenge. I had a grade 2 MCL sprain and broken right fibula, which almost put me out of the World Cup in 2010. I did rehab and get back, and I felt that was a nasty challenge. He talked about being in a dark period in that part of his career, that the media was on his back, he was under a lot of pressure, and making challenge." Stu Holden, in the world's most understated quote, "In my book, it's no excuse for breaking legs." So where is the excuse for breaking legs when your life is in danger, perhaps? But I thought that was a fairly fantastic thing, and it'll be really interesting to see. I think he's got to get at least 3 games, which would be a harsh red card ban. But because it wasn't a red card to start, very interesting how they play that. Referee Alan Chapman on the call. That's the only time they get their names on the air. Or if we're referencing Andy Evenhouse, as you just did.
Yeah, well, they get their names all the time. You spoil those BDSL refs.
And another quick story that I wanted to share, I'm sure a lot of you saw it. I am far from a John Terry fan. Don't like him one bit.
Yeah.
Great story for him. He met a kid with leukemia last year who came out to a game, a big Chelsea fan. That child died of a unsuccessful bone marrow transplant late last month. It got back to Terry, and he said he was devastated by it, and he steps in and pays for the whole funeral. Mm-hmm. Now, £1,600, which is about $2,400, it's not a ton for someone who's making probably £100,000 a week.
True.
But it's just an excellent gesture, and, you know, for someone who, again, for a lot of very deserved reasons, has been in the headlines for bad things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy who needs some good PR, yeah, for sure, you know, yeah, and especially because he's going to be moving somewhere else. It's not a bad idea to, you know, and sure, I'm not saying he did it for
no,
PR
of course
reasons.
Not.
He might
of course
not be a horrible guy.
Right. The mom brought the story to the, I believe it was the Cambridge News. Mm. So
journalism success again.
Another success, journalism. Yep. Journalism, media just gets such a bum rap. But,
I know.
But who am I to say that? Again, we're going to announce some FC Buffalo players in a little bit. But before we get to that, Ben, Premier League this week, Leicester City, a Jamie Vardy brace to beat Sunderland. Still 7 points, or I'm sorry, now 7 points ahead because of Spurs met their match. Or excuse me, met the points gained by beating Manchester United, 3 goals in the second half. The closer we get to the end of the season, it becomes, oddly enough, there's this weird dichotomy. It becomes a better chance that Leicester City will obviously lift the trophy. Mm-hmm. But with their last three games being Manchester United, Everton, Chelsea, there's got to be a part of Spurs fans out there saying, let's just get to that point. Let's get to those last three games within, obviously, not match them point for point. And you can't do anything if Leicester keeps winning. 6 of 7 of this streak, by the way, 1 or 2 nothing wins. That's unbelievable.
And Spurs don't really have a very intimidating remaining schedule.
No, they
either,
don't.
Right? So there's still, I don't know, what would you put the odds at in your mind?
90, 95%.
95%. Wow, okay.
That,
I mean, it's
that
hard.
Leicester wins?
Yeah.
I think we have to get past the fact that it's Leicester, because if it was any other team, any other big name team, even if it was an Everton, right, who is a kind of in that second tier, mm-hmm, you know, that's a pretty significant issue.
It'd almost be a Spethian meltdown.
Wow.
Sorry, I mean, Jordan.
I could talk about that for hours. I was rooting very, very hard for him.
I was too. I really wanted him to surge back, maybe make a triumphant comeback on 18.
Yeah, there was a sick part of me that rooted for Tiger Woods even when he came back.
That is pretty sick, Nick.
Yeah, I hated Tiger Woods when he did that because I had always rooted for him before, and I realize everyone has mistakes, but also the way he handled it was very poor, etc. Whatever, let's move onward. A Spethian meltdown. Leicester, I don't think will have that sort of meltdown. I think they have a very difficult schedule to play over those final three games, but even if they reach that point with the 7-point lead, if it's exactly what it is now, mm-hmm, well, here's what's going to happen. Spurs just have to lose one match. Drawing wouldn't necessarily do it because I think Spurs have superior goal differential to almost everyone, and I will look that up really quick. What a great, great batch of talent that we've seen at Spurs be. I mean, really, they've been interchangeable in a lot of those positions with the exception of Kane and maybe Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, Spurs 35 goal differential, and that's, like you said, the best by 9 goals right now over Leicester City, believe it or not, which is kind of interesting because you see Leicester winning a lot of...
Well,
like,
they keep gaining one on differential every week, right?
Right, yeah. And it's crazy to think that Leicester has lost how many games this year?
I think three.
Three.
Arsenal, Liverpool.
They played 33 games. Leicester has lost 3 of them.
Drawn 9. 21 wins.
That's freakish. That's unbelievable. And just to tease a little bit of what's coming up on soccer.buffalonews.com this week.
Oh, boy.
We talked to Leicester, not native because he wasn't born there, but Canisius head coach Dermot McGrain lived in Leicester for about 5 years.
Oh, he was a Lincoln City imp, wasn't he?
He was a Lincoln City imp, and that came after...
After that.
After okay. Leicester. But no, some very interesting anecdotes about he lived in Leicester during the hooligan era.
Oh, wow.
So he has quite some very interesting stories with that. So just a little teaser for what you might see later this week on soccer.buffalonews.com.
Yeah, I look forward
to
seeing that for sure. What's it? You like teasers? Derek Kramer loves being teased for all of you interested in people like.
That definitely backfired on me there.
Yep. You set yourself up for it, though.
Yes, I did. But I like that, you know, the nice little plug, so people be on the lookout for that.
Thanks. Yep.
So, Suge, as we evaluate, you know, the Premier League, Arsenal drawing West Ham United.
Entertaining match.
Very entertaining.
I only got to see the first half because I was dog-sitting and then I had to work. But
as usual.
Man, Andy Carroll. There's a player who's can never stay healthy, but when he's fit, there's how many people are better inside the 18?
I totally agree. At the same time, part of me wants to just lambaste Arsenal because how do you not? Once he scored their first goal, they were like, let's keep aiming for this kid because he's gigantic.
Yep.
So very disappointed that they didn't find a way to deal with them. Not that I wanted them to win. I wanted a thrilling match like that. So not disappointed in that way. But now Arsenal has opened themselves up as a threat to not finish in the top three. Now, that doesn't seem like a huge deal because top four means Champions League. But at the same time, top three go right to the group stage, if I'm not mistaken, while the fourth has to play a play-in game.
Yeah, the fourth has a pretty windy path, I think.
Yeah, and Man City still alive, of course, in the Champions League, which is something we can discuss later in the show. But I am starting to wonder if Arsenal's going to finish in fourth to Man City, who looks, honestly, better and better every week.
Not to get really anti-Wenger, but if you look at the guys West Ham started, Andy Carroll, you know, in the lineup, and to leave Per Mertesacker on the bench.
A little bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, Andy Carroll's not going to beat you with pace. You know, he is not especially fleet of foot. Neither is Per Mertesacker, but he's a big dude.
Yeah, and you're going to wager that Koscielny will be able to deal with him. And to be fair, Koscielny's been very good this year, I think.
But what was the sense in starting Gabriel?
I don't know. I have a hard time getting a read on Gabriel because early in the season, in very limited time, he put together some, or maybe it was, did he come over the January break last year? I don't think he was a summer break. But whenever he came over, his first few games, the advanced stats said he was doing a fantastic job and was inexplicably being left out of the lineup.
His Corsi was good?
His Corsi was great. So this is, okay, this is something that... this is something that is a thing. I am texting the right phone number to our guest.
That's 878-5104.
878-5104 in case anybody wants to call. Make sure it's hung up, Dave. He's having a little trouble connecting. And we'll get him on the
line. Buttons have been pressed multiple times now.
All right. So what we will do in the meantime, we'll take a little break from Wenger talk to get in the first half of a dozen players that we'll be announcing today. And one of them is slated to be our guest, and he's going to join us right now. In a moment from Hartwick College, teammate of Jamie O'Grady, who we had on the show before, also from Scotland, Paisley, Scotland, all Sunbelt Conference, second teamer, had two goals and two assists as a junior. So instead of waiting and reading off these six names, the first six that will be announced today, we'll just get Jack Donaldson on the phone now. Jack, how are you? This is Nick, and Ben is with you.
Hi, how you been?
Been doing really well, man. Excited to have you in Buffalo. I know Coach Murphy has been is really happy to have you as an option. And can you give us a little bit on how this came about?
Well, obviously Jamie O'Grady, who's already committed, plays at Hartwick with me, and Brian Knapp, who's from Buffalo, who's the women's assistant coach, had mentioned it to me as a possible option for the summer. So I decided to email the coach and. Just with discussions with Coach Murphy, then last week I just decided to come up to Buffalo and commit for the summer to come up and play. So I'm excited to get going.
Yeah, we're very excited about it as well. Jack, what we're wondering is, one of the things I was wondering is you've had a pretty circuitous route. You come over here, I know, through a very respected scouting agency, go to Mars Hill at the D2 level, star there. What kind of adjustment did you feel there was any sort of adjustment from, because that's a very good D2, was there a jump in play for you? How did you feel about the transition for yourself?
Yeah, I think there was definitely a jump when I came in last spring. I think all round the team was of a better standard than what I was playing with at Mars Hill. So as like when you're playing with any team, when you're playing with better players, then you get better yourself. So it just kind of spurs you on to train harder and put in a little bit more work to get yourself on that team sheet to be starting every week, which I thought it's obviously what I wanted to do, is try and push myself to the next level, and I think that's what I've come into here at Hartwick with the past season being really successful as well. So,
Jack, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Well, I'm playing defensive midfield here at Hartwick, so I kind of look at myself as maybe trying to emulate maybe like a similar like position to a quarterback position as in American football. You know, I try and get on the ball from the defence or the goalkeeper, and maybe try and be like the base of the attack, you know, and also defensive wise, like maybe trying to break up the play to then counter for our attack. So, and the defensive midfield position, it's a role that's evolved over the last couple of years, you know, and it's been most of the top European teams now have at least one, if not two, defensive midfielders that are playing in there. It's been one of the most important positions in Europe over the last couple of years, I would say.
So are you seeing yourself because we were talking about Leicester earlier, as seemingly everyone was, are you more of a Danny Drinkwater or an N'Golo Kante?
A little bit of a mixture, I think. with Kante's stamina, you know, he's all over the pitch. But I think Drinkwater maybe has a little bit more technical ability. So I'm not saying that Kante's obviously
he's pretty good, yeah.
He's a French international, but I think maybe a little bit of a mix. Well, I'd like to think a little bit of a mix of the two.
Not to get too much X's and O's here, Jack, but when you look at popular formations now, whether it's a 4-5-1 or a 4-4-2, how do the role as a holding midfielder differ in those two formations? Because I think those are the two that you see a lot of now, but when you're playing next to another defensive center mid or playing by yourself as defensive center mid, how are those responsibilities different?
Well, when you're playing on yourself, it's obviously a little bit more running, you know, you have to cover from side to side, up and down as well, you know, but I think as long as you can communicate with your other teammates, and if depending on what the formation is the other team are playing as well, if they've got two or three in the central area, then it's all about teamwork and communication, you know, if one of our strikers has to drop in on the other defensive mid. But I mean, as long as we've got three in there that are matching up, if we're playing the 4-4-2 or the 4-5-1, then it's not different, maybe, other than a little bit more running if we're playing with the 4-4-2. Mm-hmm.
Jack, it's funny because you seem very fluent in Leicester, but is there a club that you support in the EPL or maybe worldwide?
Well, being from Scotland, I support Glasgow Rangers.
Mm.
But
congrats on going back up.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Maybe English team would be Chelsea, maybe.
All right.
But with all the games being on Saturday and Sunday mornings here, it's great to watch them all.
I've always thought it's kind of funny, Jack. I remember one of the only times I've had the chance to go over to Europe, I took a train to from London up to Stoke for a Premier League game, and and I started talking with, you know, a couple fans who were wearing the same color scarf as me, and so I could tell that, you know, they were into the same thing. And we started talking, and I said, "Well, do you remember the so-and-so game?" I don't remember if it was. They played Norwich. They're like, "No, we didn't see that one." And I'm like, "How did you not see it?" And they're like, "Well, we don't get to see every game." It's kind of amazing that they don't. You guys get match of the day and maybe another game, but whereas we see every. If I want to root for Newcastle, I can watch every darn game, and that's
It's funny because we get more games over here, as you said, than we do back home on the television. I don't know how it works but as you said, there's normally two games that are on a Saturday, maybe the early kickoff and then the later kickoff. But the 10 Eastern kickoffs are never on TV back home.
Oh, really? Wow.
Brutal. Jack, we are thrilled to have you on today. I did want to ask, is there anything we should have asked you?
No, I think you've covered everything.
Yeah.
I got to say, I have one more question. I was just reading through your bio on Hartwick, and it says you're a chemistry and a business administration major. Chemistry major, how hard is that to balance? Because that's not a lenient major by any means.
No, it's been quite hard. Obviously, last semester we missed a lot of classes, so it was quite hard to catch up on notes and stuff, and also grasp the concepts that I've been taught in the class. But I think it's just down to putting in a lot of work outside of class and outside of school. And also being friendly with other people, other classmates, so that you can then catch up with the notes from them instead of going direct to the professor.
Yeah, friendly is key. Well, you mentioned that we covered everything, and we look forward to watching you cover everything in the midfield at FC Buffalo this summer. Jack Donaldson from Hartwick, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you in person.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Anytime. So Jack Donaldson, the first of our first group of six players, we will announce two batches, if you will, of six today, as if we cooked them up in an oven. Jack, again, an all Sun Belt Conference second teamer in his first year at Hartwick. He'll be a senior next year, two goals, two assists as a junior. We'll also be bringing in two more. We've announced Josh Bishaw and Kieran Tolan in the past. We have two more St. Bonaventure players, one who redshirted this year and one who played in 16 games as a freshman for head coach Kwame Oduro. This is just like we often talk about pronunciation things. I'm terrified I'm going to screw this one up, especially with my Sicilian background.
But oh, boy.
Anthony Gaglianese. I believe it's Nisi, not Nice. Anthony Gaglianese from St. Bonaventure.
That's still pretty impressive there.
Yeah, thank you. A Fairport, New York guy. Very versatile, as is his teammate who redshirted this year, and that's Nico Richards from Vicknard, New York, so similar neck of the woods. Ben, did you get a chance to – I know you saw Bonaventure a few times this year. I don't know if you had any takes on – obviously, you wouldn't have seen Nico as a redshirt, but Anthony, former Empire United player, don't know if you remembered him.
I do. I remember him. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Ryan Arvin and Kwame Duro and the staff at St. Bonaventure definitely kept a pretty – wide rotation and gave a lot of guys opportunities to, I guess, acquit themselves and earn a spot in the lineup. There were some good things that I guess I saw from Gaglianese, but the team was just so bad that it was really hard to stick out. So
very big rebuild there for Coach Kwame. I believe they had eight or nine starters graduate,
mm-hmm.
Figler amongst them. So they had to redo everything there. And that's a good situation for someone like Gaglianese to come into. And obviously Josh Bishaw and Kieran Tolan, who will be with FC Buffalo, were veterans on that team despite being sophomores.
Yeah, and Bishaw going through injuries and Kieran Tolan as well going through injuries. So I'm excited to see how those guys will play when, like I said in previous shows, when they're surrounded by a very talented supporting cast.
Also joining FC Buffalo, and it wouldn't be a team, although we announced two earlier, wouldn't be a team without more from Murph's alma mater, and the FC Buffalo team this year will have Morgan Smith, who's basically a three-year starter at St. Lawrence, has fought injuries his sophomore year, has started his first seven games, and as well as junior year, lit it up as a freshman. I don't remember the exact numbers. I want to say he's got something like 13 assists and 10 goals through his first 3 years, and can play on the outside, an energetic player, and I know Coach Murph is happy to have another saint.
Originally recruited by Syracuse, too.
Yes, yeah, but I think he might have spent a year there, maybe even something like that. I don't remember. I'll find out when I get to meet him.
Nice.
And then two more. We'll stay local with one, and that is Justin Figler. We mentioned Jeremy Figler from St. Bonaventure. Justin started every game as a freshman at Damon. He's out of Grand Island, New York. We have a lot of Grand Island kids on the team. Made 88 saves because Damon gave up a lot of shots.
Mm.
So baptism by fire, if you will. Hey, you're a freshman. Get used to classes. By the way, you're going to play every game, every minute of every game for Damon.
No better way to get better as a keeper.
That's true. That's very true. And then the sixth player that we'll mention in this half hour, and it'll be a good way to go to break, comes from Belmont University. Another Empire kid, but hails from the other side of the border, Niagara Falls, Canada. Matt Lapoida played in every game for Belmont, picked up an assist as a freshman, saw them play against UB. They have two Western New Yorkers on the team, and Matt started, again, every game as a freshman. It's a pretty tough thing to do at any D1 level, as we just discussed with St. Bonaventure. So that'll be six, and then we have another six in the second half of the show. We get back, we'll talk UEFA Champions League as well. Lots to get to, as well as the FC Yemen match. We should talk about that when we get back here on the Football Club of Buffalo show. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there are some congrats in order at Niagara University, where Blair Stevenson, will be the new assistant coach to Bill Boyle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Blair had a chance to catch up with him this weekend because it was very, very bizarre. So our head coach, Brendan Murphy for FC Buffalo, basically ended up in a group around Blair a few weeks ago at a college scouting thing somewhere. Murph's been everywhere for Duville, so I have no idea where it was. Mm. But ended up, you know, around him and they were chatting and they became friends. And there's, without giving too much into our methods, one of the players that FC Buffalo had been looking into was from Montana State University of Billings. And completely bizarre that I was recommended, hey, you should talk to Blair Stevenson. He's out there and you'll know him as a reference for him. Well, now he goes from Syracuse, where he was, I believe, a grad assistant or a volunteer assistant, to Niagara to take the first chair under Bill Boyle. And that's going to be really exciting. I think Niagara is going to do some interesting things. It's going to take some time for them to build, and they have the right AD who's going to give them that sort of patience to put together a strong team, a team that went to the NCAA tournament 3 years ago and then was stripped pretty threadbare without saying anything poor about anyone, period. So pretty exciting stuff. Was that the test or the guest?
That's the guest.
Still on the line?
Well, you called back, yes. Well, you've got another guest here, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's here.
Oh, well, I guess we'll get right into the announcements, Ben. We'll get back to FC Yemen a little later. Joining us this year, really interesting story how this has come about. We're really excited about it. But we'll just get real quick and a very brief introduction. Sam Biles is one of the players who will be joining us, one of two players from Southampton Solent University. Team Solent is the name of the team. They play in the Sydenham's Wessex Premier League down in the south of England. He's from London. We'll get more into his intro in a minute. But Sam, how are you doing, man?
How's it going, Nick?
Doing very, very well. You're from London, right?
Yeah, I'm from London. I grew up there, Arsenal supporting team. So,
well, that's what's kind of interesting, yeah, Sam. Yeah, go ahead, man.
No, obviously I'm from London. Obviously live down now in Southampton, as you said. So here for university, and obviously heading to the States this summer, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, Sam, you'd mentioned when we were first talking. And kind of casually, that, you know, you were an Arsenal fan, but then from the age of 7 until you were 18, you were at Arsenal in the academy, played for the reserves a little bit, 11 years there. Meanwhile, you earned 11 caps between England's U16 and U17 teams. That's quite a resume. And then you opted really to go to college after leaving Arsenal and keep playing. How did that decision come about?
So obviously it was my dream to play, and having come through the academy at Arsenal and obviously the team that I support, which was like a massive thing for me and the family, obviously, to spend almost 11 years was probably not expected when I was young, but hey, I got there in the end, ended up getting a full-time scholarship and just didn't quite make the cut to get my pro contract, which was a shame, but... You know, I think sometimes it comes down to opinion when it gets to that kind of crucial stage. But as I came out, the club got released. I couldn't really find much going forward in terms of playing professionally. Maybe because of my physique, I'm not the tallest, not the strongest for my height. But so I ended up looking at second careers, if you like, and I was advised by the PFA, which is the Professional Footballers Association, which I'm a member of, and. One of their links was to come to university down here in Southampton, which is something that I was interested in. I came down to look at the university, and that's kind of here I am now and almost graduating.
And the team is very good down there as well. I know one of your teammates, Jesse Waller-Lassen, was with Tottenham for a year.
Yeah, right.
And then Jamal Wiseman, who I had spoken with over the course of this whole evaluation thing, he was at Coventry City and Arsenal with you. Was he with you, or is he a couple years older?
He's a couple of years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
I knew of him when I was around the academy when I was younger. We also have, you know, some other ex-academy players there that you haven't mentioned, but yeah, it's a good team. We got promoted last season, which we were due because for the two seasons that I've been here, we were always, you know, the better team in our league, always looked to pass the ball around. But sometimes coming in, you know, playing on poor pitches and stuff like that against men who wanted to fight, sometimes didn't suit our style of play. But I think last year we pushed really hard and ended up getting promotion. So now we're playing in a better division, and we're doing pretty well, yeah.
Sam, how would you describe life in Arsenal Academy? Because I think it's hard for Americans over here to really grasp what, like, an everyday life as being part of that is like. How would you explain that?
It was, obviously for me, it was more personal. Obviously, I support the club, and I've been going to games since I was a young boy. So I ended up going through the academy, and it was amazing. Obviously, seeing now some of the players that I'd played with and now playing at that professional level. So, you know, like the likes of Jack Wilshere, he plays obviously for England International now, and he came up through the same age group as me. So, and he's a good friend today. So it's kind of weird. And obviously now I'm playing with players who haven't been to the heights that I maybe have been at, but at the same time, you still get some good quality talent coming through that maybe didn't come through the academy system, but they're still technically very good, and they're doing pretty well at this kind of level that I'm playing at right now. So, yeah, I think everyone comes from different pathways. I came from one that was pretty good. But, yeah, so for me personally, it was excellent, and ended up getting some national team games at 16 and 17. So it showed that I was really doing well at that age. So obviously I was really upset when I got released from the club. But I think football is, you know, it's hard.
How would you describe yourself as a player, Sam? Are you you said you're a little bit smaller and not super strong for your size, so are you a very technical player?
Yeah, so I guess I'm on the smaller side. Obviously, coming through the academy, they emphasize a lot on technical ability. So that was pretty much how we played. We like to keep possession at Arsenal, and I used to get the ball. I used to play as a right fullback, and I used to get the ball more than probably I do now playing centre mid for this team that I'm playing. So it just shows you like the style of football that we played. But now I play central midfield. Sometimes I play holding, so sometimes I'll sit in front of the back four and I'll screen, if depending on the opposition and what they're playing against. Or sometimes I can be pushed higher up because we've got a lot of possession of the ball. And sometimes, you know, interchanging with play with like Jesse Waller-Lesson, as you mentioned, we have a good understanding and we can link up pretty well higher up the pitch. So, yeah, I like to play in the middle. Obviously, I'm small, but doesn't mean I'm not very physical. I've put on some pounds and good muscle. So,
Sam, I think one of the things that's interesting for us is our academy system is obviously still developing here. So when you mention being in the same class as Jack Wilshere, and occasionally, obviously, you've called up to play games for the reserves as well.
Yeah.
Your interaction with some of those faces and names that we see on TV, the first team coaches, you know, the backroom staff, etc. What sort of experience do academy players and reserve players have with, you know, inside of that whole setup?
So you mean in terms of like playing with the first team?
Sure, anything like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was there as a full-time player, and you're getting around the first team quite a lot. You see them eating at meal time, lunchtime, and then the other occasion you'll get called up to go and train with them, and you know, Arsene Wenger's standing there coaching, and you actually part of the session. To me, it was pretty surreal, you know. Like I was there for 2 years as a full-time player, and I probably trained with them more, maybe over 20 times. And every time was just, it was just, you know, every time I was grateful for every opportunity that I got to do that. And yeah, it's just an experience that I look back on now, and I'm grateful for that. But I also see my future as being quite bright, and I still think that I can go on to make something of it today. So
for sure. And one of the players that we haven't announced that we might as well right now, and he's going to join us in the coming weeks, is your teammate, and I know he's captain the side sometimes, Jim Orvis. What can you tell us about him? I know he has 3 goals and 7 assists this season. He came from Cambridge United. What will we see from Jim?
Yeah, Jimmy's a really good guy. He's a hard-working player. He works hard at his game. He works hard physically in the gym. He's a right-sided player. Plays out on the wide. He works up and down. He'll close, you know, close off the ball. His work rate is really good, and he likes to get a crossing early if he can get the opportunity and get the ball out of his feet. He'll deliver, and he usually puts the ball on the money, you know, on the striker's head. So, yeah, you'll see Jeremy work hard, and he'll be a good addition to the team for sure.
Sam, one thing that, and we won't keep you too much longer. We know you're calling from over in England, and it's getting a little later out there.
Yeah. It's what? All right. I just got back from training. So.
Oh, brilliant. England, putting on the shirt of your national team, you know, the three lions. It's something, you know, for here with us in the United States, the U.S. soccer, something that every player would absolutely dream us. Can you take us through, number one, what that experience was like, and maybe some of the names that people might remember from your time with the U16s and 17s?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So got scouted from England Scouts, just playing for Arsenal, and they picked, I think, 40 or 50 players as a trial team or squad, and they narrowed that down to 18 for the first game. I got into the 18, and there was players that didn't make that 18. So now you're looking at players like Jesse Lingard at Man United, Carl Jenkinson, who's obviously at Arsenal but been on loan in the Premier League to West Ham. And then obviously I started in the first game, which was massive. It was unexpected, really, and going out and singing the national anthem in front of a decent-sized crowd. I was nervous, obviously, but I actually played pretty well in the first game, so it gave me a huge, huge confidence boost going into the next games. But, yeah, it was really crazy, and I always look back now and just say, like, wow, I even, like, pinch myself sometimes. So.
That's unreal. And one other thing that I wanted to mention is I know your coach is kind of an amazing story. Your coach knows a friend of mine who, back when we first started talking, and I want to say this idea cropped up in November. He's now been hired actually at the University of Buffalo, Matt Brown, and I know you had a chance to meet him before he was hired by the university. But he had played with your coach, who still plays with you guys, right? He's a former.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I think he's in his 40s now, early 40s. But he still tries to put on a kit whenever he can. I mean, he always names himself as a substitute. And depending how the game goes, because he's a tall 6-foot-plus striker who's really good in the air. So if we need to mix up our style of play, he's a good addition to bring on. And he'll certainly mix it up. And he likes to get his elbows into people. And, he's just completely different style to what we have. We're all pretty small technical players. So, yeah. He's good to have, and he still has a good passion for the game. He's still clinging on to it, even though he's in his 40s.
Well, he was former, I want to say he was either on England's C or England's B team as when he was a club player as well. Is that true?
Yeah, I heard he was England's C, so pretty good. So I think that's England non-leagues. If you look at the non-league system, England have like a team just for those non-league players. I'm not sure who they compete against, but he played for those, and he's been around. He's earned a fair bit of money playing football semi-professionally, and now he's trying to take it into his stride and go into management, which he's doing pretty well at, to be honest. He only took the team over last season, and we got promoted instantly. So,
yeah, that's brilliant. Well, Sam, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to meeting you in those late weeks in May. And, you know, stay healthy, and let's go win some ball games.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. See you soon. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Sam Biles is one of the players who will join us. And before we get into Champions League talk, we will mention, I got to mention the other four players that we have bringing in. So there's Jim Orvis, as I mentioned, who is Sam's teammate. Really a little taller, it's funny, than Sam would have led you to believe about the entire team.
I know.
But a tough guy. We're also bringing in a trio of players from, I betray myself. I'm going to say two more players from Niagara University.
Ooh.
And that's Adel Rahman, redshirt junior, played 12 games at NU. He's from Canada and Brampton, not too far over the border. And Steve Pondeca from Tucson, Arizona, had 2 assists in 15 games as a freshman. So we're excited to add them. I mentioned Morgan Smith already. So now I've got to find it. It's when it's all in alphabetical. That is 3. There was a third. Alex Dimitriou, who is a guy I know that you and I have spoken a bit about. His name's come up on the show. Led Niagara in scoring as a freshman with 6 goals and 14 points, and did it on a team that didn't score a lot of goals, period. So, I mean, what's your take on him? You saw Niagara, frankly, more than me today.
Yeah, he is mercurial, for sure. If there's a one word to use, he is a very gifted finisher, and that's one thing that stuck out to me.
That
and
sounds good.
And obviously, obviously, as a striker, like, he'd score goals against the run of play. He's got enough of a burst where he can get a shot off in tight spaces and get him around the goal, and I was really impressed with him as a player. There are some things like any freshman in college needs to work on from a mental and from a maturity standpoint, I think. But he is definitely a player with a lot of potential.
Yeah, we're excited to see what happens there. And then one more player that we added, and it's certainly one of those last but not least scenarios, All-America East first-team midfielder. He was on the first team with his Albany teammate, Keith Trout. Philip Person, a three-year captain at the University of Albany. You're going to have to help me with this. I'm going to spell it. You tell me how to pronounce it. It did not help having Eric Dahl on the team last year, who was Swedish.
Oh, boy.
N-O-R-R-K-O-P-I-N-G. Norrköping?
I doubt it's pronounced like that.
Norrköping?
I don't
think so. It's like snorkeling.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I have no idea, and I feel embarrassed to say it. We'll have to get Philip on the show soon. But 5 goals and 13 assists in 72 games through 4 years.
Wow.
I was going to be getting into coaching as well. Not with us. Well, who knows? Maybe he's an on-field coach, so to speak. But really a fantastic player. And I know I spoke to Anthony Rosano, who's played for us a number of times, and he spoke extremely highly of Philip. And Bill Boyle, who was his former coach and is now the Niagara head coach, said, this kid is the sort of person at practice that you're just thrilled to have around because he's never going to take a minute off, always encouraging. So it's going to bring leadership as well. I'm very excited to have Philip Person in the fold. It's going to be a fun year, and I can't help but wonder, you know, how this all comes together. Coach Murphy has given himself a wealth of selection choices, and it'll be very fun to see what happens. You know, those first few weeks of the year, you end up using probably all 30 guys if you have that many, because not all of them are back from school or whatever. So training is going to be awesome.
What are the odds you think that Murph picks up a Scottish accent?
Very good. No, I doubt Murph would. His Irish heritage would probably prohibit that.
Interesting.
You know, that would really be an issue. But, you know, a friend of mine, we were having this discussion about his accent because he's lived in 4 or 5 countries now. And people from each of those respective countries tell them that he doesn't have their accent anymore. So it's not a problem that we'll ever have.
Nope.
In theory.
I just have my Buffalo accent where I say eggs and things
and
like
car.
That. Car.
Yeah. So there's that. I wanted to, before we get into the Champions League, let's dip into this FC Yemen game yesterday against Christos FC. They lose 3-0 on a very rough day. They almost scored early. Obviously, they qualified as the Teal Cup winners. And in a sense, I was a little nervous going into the game, not because I doubt the talent of our area, but because it's a bit like when Birmingham City won the League Cup and then got to play in Europe. This is a pretty, because FC Yemen, of course, last year was in the championship, the second flight of the BDSL. So I was a little nervous how they would measure up. And once I saw the roster, to be fair, it was 1-0 and then 2-0 for a while, right?
Yeah, they scored about 15 to 20 minutes into the game. They scored the second one right on the cusp of halftime. And you know, just from covering soccer, that if you concede a goal right before half,
oh, it's brutal.
It is pretty hard to come back from. And Christos, real quality side, very quality side.
Yeah, I was kind of, like I said, when the few names I saw, they were all names where I was like, I need to Google that because I know it, especially, and I'm gonna mess it up. Pete Karinji, I think it is, the third. His father is the coach at UMBC. I think his senior year they went something like 16-1-3. That is a very... Anyone out there who sees that needs to know that I would imagine a team with that talent would be favored to maybe win the tournament.
Yeah.
Even if they had to come up to Buffalo for a game.
They didn't seem very happy about coming up to Buffalo for the game, too,
sure.
By the way. They were very cold. They were very upset about
babies.
The weather.
Pure babies.
There was a lot of complaining about that. But granted, just to go back to FC Yemen, five of the FC Yemen players of the 20 on their roster played high school soccer last year.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that they, again, that's a pretty good showing. And I know that sounds almost patronizing, and I don't mean it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a tough game, and now, so Christos could end up facing
BSC Raiders.
Raiders.
So this coming Sunday, I believe also at 2:30 at Nichols School, BSC Raiders will play Phoenix SC. I think they're from Eastern Pennsylvania, another hotbed of soccer talent. So if BSC can, I would say, pull an upset in this case. I mean,
does Ryan Walter get to play?
Yep.
Okay, even though we picked up the two yellows?
Yep.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. They have, I think the thing that impressed me most about BSC is they have a, they can really switch it on you in terms of their center midfield. They have a lot of different moving pieces, and they have players on their back line and players up front who can do a job there. So I think that'll be one to watch. Where is it going to be?
It'll be at Nichols next Sunday. And then if BSC does win that game, there's a chance that they will play Christos, assuming that Christos advances. And watching Christos yesterday, they'd be a very good matchup for BSC. They're very similar teams. I feel like Christos might have a slight edge in the air, but Christos seemed vulnerable at times defensively too. So it would be a very interesting match, and it might be tough because I don't know if BSC is going to be in full strength. It doesn't seem like Rudy Pikusinski Jr. is going to be coming back for this tilt on Sunday. So they've called in a couple new players, and you can take a look at soccer.buffalonews.com in the coming days to see what that roster will be.
Oh, you can't tell me who they are?
Nope.
Off the air, you will? So you're just looking for clicks here.
Oh, I never even said I would tell you off the
air. Oh, Mr. Clicks
here.
You
might just have to wait.
The Sooge, as we like to call him. I mean, the Professor Clicks will be your new name. Hey, I got a quick question for you. We have other things to talk about for sure, but you are the expert on this. Is Lloyd's at Buff State
today? Oh, don't say Lloyd's.
Why?
Lloyd.
Is Lloyd at Buff State
Lloyd
today?
Is the name of the truck.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe so, yeah.
Well,
they have Al Pastor, which is the pineapple.
Mm.
Yeah. You seem pretty excited by this.
Well, you brought me free ice cream last week. There was pineapple in it, and it was
that's right.
And it was wonderful.
Oh.
It was wonderful. I am gaining a significant amount of weight because my wife liked it, but would rather put it, it's almost like a piña colada flavor.
Agreed.
And so that is something she would rather have in small bites, whereas I'm like, well, let me eat a gallon.
Yep, I'm not good at portion control either.
Yeah.
I ate way too much Key Lime Perry's ice cream the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, it was disastrous.
Disastrous.
Meanwhile, it's snowing out over the last couple of days. It's like, why are you eating ice cream? Because I want to.
Well, yeah, because ice cream's delicious.
And it has nothing to do with the weather.
Pizza comes out of the oven hot. I still eat it all year. In July, I'm still like, ooh, here's a nice hot piece of pizza. So
he told you, Producer Derek.
I told you, Producer.
Hey, I said that's what people say.
Well, you're not a person. That's right. You're a zoo animal.
I'm Producer Derek.
You are producer.
I'm different than people.
You know, UEFA Champions League, Ben. We got about 5 minutes to finish this show here.
You can go a little over today. You got some extra time.
Nice.
Let's go to seven.
Oh, let's just keep going. UEFA Champions League. Four games this week. We will know our final four after this. You have PSG going to Man City. Tied at two, so knowing that they've given up two road goals. You have Bayern Munich going to Benfica in Portugal, up 1-0. So not giving up a road goal, but very little margin for error. I'm a New York Yankees announcer now. Let's see what games that I miss. Barcelona leads Atletico 2-1, going to the Vicente Calderon.
Do you think that match will be interesting?
Yes.
You do?
I do, because Atleti has that single road goal.
Yeah.
So,
but they won't have Mr. Torres.
They won't have Torres, but if they pick up, and I think Barca is missing a player or two as well, but if they get that first goal, they're a team that can defend. I mean, Diego Godin, I really like what they're able to do. And I'm going to say his name wrong, but Koke or Koke?
Koke.
Koke.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with
him. Yeah, I thought he had a very good match as well.
So I think that could be a thing. I also think you're betting on Barcelona having three off matches in a row, because they weren't at their best in the 2-1 win over the first leg. They lost over the weekend. And to think that they would have three games where you're just like, it's just difficult to imagine.
So Barca, down Thomas Vermaelen and down Rafinha.
Yeah.
How much of a difference does that make? You know, I mean, those are two guys who are...
Vermaelen, not too much.
Okay.
But Rafinha has... The only reason more people don't know his name is injuries and breaking into the squad, because he seems to do a nice job when he gets in there.
Mm-hmm. And they're not sure about Pique either. So I mean,
that's a big one.
Barcelona could be vulnerable defensively.
I agree.
I don't think Ter Stegen really, seems super confident at times either. So.
At times. He is a feast or famine type of goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
The other, and this is a big one for me, is Real Madrid and Wolfsburg. The Wolves. Do you see... speaking with friends, the 2-0 deficit with it coming in Wolfsburg, doesn't seem like a big deficit, because it's Real Madrid and we've seen them score so much. It almost seems like you have to think Wolfsburg, they gotta want to score. They gotta want to score, because then 3-1 becomes an advantage in their favor.
For sure.
I would really, and I'd like to see them advance, to be honest with you. I know there's a lot of Real Madrid fans out there. They like Cristiano Ronaldo's clay stomach. It's very interesting. Do you give them a chance to do it? Do you think, what are their odds being up 2-0?
If I had to put a number on it, I'd say probably, oh, are you talking about Wolfsburg's odds?
Wolfsburg's odds.
Yeah, I would say I would still put them below 50%, which is kind of freakish to say.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say probably 35 to 40% that Wolfsburg advances. And you know what I think this is a really good test for Zinedine Zidane as a manager.
Sure, that's a great call.
And I think maybe, I don't know if he lucked out or not in El Clasico, and I don't know how much of that was managerial and how much of that was just
the circumstances of the game.
But this is a real time where your backs against the wall. They did put themselves in this position, you know. So, I mean, that to some degree is also kind of against Zidane. But Benzema back in training, fully fit, ready to play. Does that make a big difference? I mean, I waffle on Benzema as a player.
Well, it's hard not to because he looks like, first of all, he looks like he eats a lot of waffles.
Mm.
But second of all,
there's nothing wrong with waffles, Nick.
I love a nice waffle.
Mm.
I'm supposed to go to the gym after this, and now I'm thinking waffles.
Talking about Lloyd and waffles?
Lloyd waffles. How about a Lloyd taco inside a waffle?
You know what? There's the Dirty South taco from Lloyd, which you can only get from the restaurant. That is...
Wait. You're throwing me off here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Dirty South taco.
But it has waffles on it. It has... So there's like waffle.
Oh.
So there's waffle pieces. There's maple syrup and there's chicken, which is why it's called the Dirty South.
I forgot about there is a taco restaurant that sounds like that is downtown and totally threw me off.
Very close, yeah. Deep South is.
Have not been there yet.
Yeah.
So interesting. PSG, Man City, Ben. Do you think City, with its two road goals, will emerge? They will not have Raheem Sterling, which I do not think is a big loss.
I don't either.
But they will not have Vincent Kompany, which that means we'll see the Porto duo of, I won't say his first name, Mangala, Eliakim.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And
yeah. I think it's Eliakim.
Eliakim?
Eliakim?
I've never really paid attention, and the people who say it have accents.
And notice how his first name is not really said a lot among professionals either. It's not hard to say Mangala.
They're just like, oh, Mangala, look at that guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Mandola.
Yeah, well, kind of. You should get that jersey.
I agree completely. And so he'll be next to Otamendi, who has been feast or famine. But again, it takes a year to adjust. I really think it takes almost a full year to adjust to the league. And you need to look no further than cheap plug here, by the way.
Ooh.
Go to prosoccertalk.nbcsports.com. I wrote an article on how I believe N'Golo Kanté is the most important part of Leicester, that he's their most valuable player. And beginning of the year, he wasn't starting. He was coming off the bench. He still played in every game but one this year so far. But they tried him at a little bit more of an advanced position. They played him at left mid. They played him at defensive mid, which is where he is now next to Drinkwater. But it took him a while to kind of get in the flow. Even though he was one of the more effective defensive mids in League One last year on a relegation candidate. So there are a lot of players that I think we just kind of need to take a deep breath and say, look, it might take them some time to adjust.
Oh, you're talking about Mangala. I was talking about
Otamendi.
Oh, you're talking about Otamendi. Okay.
Great name, by the way.
I have two things to say that will be good for City. Demichelis probably won't be in the lineup.
That's a great call.
One good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Second good thing is, it hasn't been strange for City to play without Kompany this year. They've spent most of the year playing without him.
That's true. Very true.
And does that mean marking Zlatan is any easier? No, but I think, given the edge that they have, that they may be able to do it.
Yeah, I like the chance there. We should touch on the only game we haven't, and that's Benfica-Bayern. Do you give Benfica any chance?
You know, I can't really speak to this one very well. I didn't see.
It's hard to.
I didn't see the first leg. Benfica, you said, is an entertaining team, but I honestly not super familiar.
Yeah, I love it, and we will we'll continue to advance these discussions. We may have a really cool announcement coming, and you don't even know if you're thinking what announcement is this. Mm. I'm going to tell you off the air something about it, and you will love it, and then you will break this news at some point if it happens in the next month or so.
Wow.
So I just want to be just keep people coming back every week.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know you don't.
Yep.
Keep coming back every week.
Yep.
Singular Lloyd.
Very good.
Here I come.
Very good. All right.